Prepare for the word this morning. This will actually be an introduction of sorts to where Rich Roy will be going next week. He's going to preach the word next week. And just as a side note, Kim's not here because she has a severe chest cold going on, so she'd appreciate your prayers. Rich had some sort of family emergency with his son, so he took off for the North Shore about 8:30 this morning. And I don't know who else is sick in your family or in your circle, but it just highlights the need we have for the Lord. Amen. So don't forget about one another. So important during this season. And how do I say it? Be sensible. You know, you have to protect yourself against the cold and the flu. It's naive to say, oh, well, the Lord will take care of me. And then you don't wash your hands, you don't care about touching things when you're out shopping, even such simple things you have to remember, like the pen when you sign the credit card slip at the grocery store. Hundreds of people have touched that. So be sensible, be aware. And that's the way to keep yourself healthy. You can trust the Lord, but He expects you to use common sense. Amen? There's an expression. It's even called a proverb in the world. Imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. And that means one imitates someone else because of an admiration that you have for that person or the values that person has. If you imitate something another person does, it means you admire that person and want to be like him or her. And if you jog your memory a little bit, some of us have to really jog our memory. When we were in grammar school, we played a game called Follow the Leader. And you line up. There's a leader that's chosen at the head of the line, and you have to do whatever the leader does, whether it's silly, crazy, outlandish, outrageous. Because if you don't, you're out of the game. And thank you, Jesus, that we're not out of the game when we blow it. Huh? He doesn't disregard us or reject us, but He is our chosen leader. And it's essential, especially in the challenging times we live in, to follow the example of Christ. And so I've entitled this message, Follow the Leader, very simply, the leader being Jesus Christ Himself. There's a number of scriptures that speak to this concept. Philippians 4:9 talks about what you've learned, received, heard, and seen, Paul speaking in me, practice. Do those things. Imitate those things that you see in a godly person and in ultimately in Christ. Hebrews 13:7, considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. And 3 John verse 11, do not imitate evil, but what is good, for the one who does good is of God. When we do what we know we should do, we remain under God's umbrella of favor. And actually, the scripture says elsewhere If you know what to do and don't do it, that's sin. So, and by His grace, He will enable us to do what we need to do. Now, the word is a little different today. There's a term in hermeneutics, or the study or the preaching of the word, called pearl stringing. And that's when you take different scriptures and you string them together to give a message. And so I've done that in the Gospel of John this morning. The first one being John 8, verse 12. Again, Jesus speaking, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but have the light of light." And so the first point is to be spirit-led or have a sacrificial lifestyle. And that's not always easy, but that's the goal. That's what we need to shoot for. Luke 9:23, "If anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." And so Jesus is putting a charge out there, and it's a very high standard. And what it's saying there, if I were to paraphrase it, is we have a choice to live a self-centered life, do what we want, what we feel like, or we can have a Christ-centered life and live according to what He wants us to do and how He wants us and when He wants us to do it. And that can be challenging. 2 Peter 1:3, "Seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him, Jesus, who called us by His own glory and excellence." And the Passion renders it this way, "Everything we could ever need for life and complete devotion to God has already been deposited in us by His divine power." And so He doesn't just ask us to do something, or He doesn't expect us to live and model ourselves after the life of Christ, but He's given us that power. When we accept Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit becomes resident in us. And so we don't have the excuse of saying, "I can't," because He's going to do it. His power working in us and through us accomplishes whatever it is He has planned for us. So from our part, and I kind of say this with a tongue-in-cheek or a smile, we can follow somebody on Twitter. We can follow somebody on Facebook. But what we're saying is we're only seeing what they do or what they say. And so, as a Christian, we can't just see what Jesus does or what Jesus says, but we have to say and we have to do. Our conduct has to match up with who we say we are. And I'm just poking a little bit of fun at social media because, I mean, it's worthy of it, if I could say it that way. And so, if we're going to say we're a Christ follower, we have to follow Christ. It sounds simple, but that's really what He calls us to do, to follow Him. So we need to have more than a head knowledge or awareness of something, and we need to demonstrate in our lifestyle that we not only say we are a Christian, but we conduct our life, because actions do speak louder than words. And once you get it out there that you're a Christ follower, you're under scrutiny. People are going to watch your life, watch what you say, watch what you do. And they will be delighted to say, "Aha!" when you mess up. And we will mess up. Let's face it, we're not perfect. However, we need to shoot for the goal of being a model Christian, both in public and in private, I might add. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 5:16, "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works or your lifestyle and glorify your Father who is in heaven." And another scripture for your study only, 1 Corinthians 9:24-26. Secondly, and this is the second pearl, John 10:27, spirit-led or sacrificial decisions. "My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me." And so it's not enough to say, "Oh, I heard the Lord say." That's the first step. But the next step is obedience. We need to do what it is the Lord's asking us. And that sometimes, or actually most times, can be very, very challenging. Sacrificial decisions are decisions that you don't want to make, but the Lord's asking you to make. "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me." There's a song that was very popular way back in the 70s, "I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow." And that's a lonely road sometimes. People won't understand why you do what you do or say what you say. But you have to rest in the knowledge that you know him. You hear his voice, and you follow his voice. You follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Love for him should be motivation for every decision you make, period. No exception. Romans 12:1, "A living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship." And when you commit to do what the Spirit leads, or you make that unwavering sacrificial decision, it's an act of worship. You're honoring him. You're worshiping him. You may not be raising your hands like you do in the sanctuary, but you're worshiping the Lord by honoring him and saying, "Yes, Lord, I'll do this. I will gladly do it. I won't do it unwillingly, I'll do it willingly," as an act of worship. Ephesians 5:1-2. "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma." When God is pleased with us, it's like a fragrant aroma. And the scripture talks about this in Corinthians and elsewhere, because people notice that aroma of Christ. When we're following him, when we're walking with him, when we're being a devoted son and servant, people know. People notice that. But you always need to submit your actions and decisions to the scrutiny of Holy Spirit. This is the mark of true sonship. We can say, the scripture says we're a son or a daughter, but when we submit, when we come under, that's what submission literally means, is coming under, we prove to be his disciple. We prove that we truly are a Christ follower. Romans 8:14, For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Galatians 5:16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Aha. There it is. Walk by the Spirit. Follow the Spirit. Follow in the footsteps of Christ, and your flesh won't have its way. How many of you know you still have a flesh? And it still wants to rear its ugly head. It loves to lose its temper. It loves to say things that it shouldn't say and do things it shouldn't do. And even though we're forgiven, we can't take those things back. That's the tragedy of it. The damage is done. So walk by the Spirit. Follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Ultimately, follow the leader, the Lord. Number three, Spirit-led or sacrificial service. John 12:24-26. Truly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. He who loves his life loses it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it to life eternal. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. And so there's a lot there. There's actually a whole message right there in just those two verses. But let's condense it. John 12:26. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. Where I am, my servant will be. And the Passion reads that, renders that verse 26. If you want to be my disciple, follow me, and you will go where I'm going. And I would even add, and do what I'm doing, or say what I'm saying there. John chapter 5, 19 and 20. And this is a whole dialogue where Jesus is saying, I only do what I see my Father doing, or enter into what Father's doing. And, you know, you're not dumb. Holy Spirit, you will hear the Holy Spirit. He will reveal what Father's doing. That's one of my goals every Sunday morning. I say, what are you doing? And that will determine whether I preach or don't preach, whether there's a call for healing or there's not a call for healing. We always need to be aware of what he's doing, because that's where the anointing rests. And so we need to pay attention, and we need to be Spirit-led. And what's the challenging part here is it may not be what you would choose or desire to do. You see, you cannot allow this to be the filter. Your spirit has to be the filter. And then you can say, yes, Lord, willingly, gratefully, and quickly. Our example of selfless love and service is Jesus Christ. Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man, Jesus, did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. You know, he didn't have to do it. He had the free will. He could have said, Father, no. This is too much. Instead, he said, yes, Father, not my will, not what I want, but thy will be done. Let's go back to our John 12 here, verse 24, about the grain of wheat. It's a very interesting thing here. And it says, unless it falls into the earth and dies, die really what it is, it's no longer what it was. Once it's subject to the elements and water and the soil and all this, it's no longer what it was. And if you've ever seen a grain of wheat, it's quite unattractive. It's blah looking, it's dull, it's hard, it's dry. But once it's put into the earth, and this is speaking of once we respond to the Spirit of God, even though it may not make sense, it may be unpleasant, it may be challenging, that's where the life springs forth. And statistically, that one grain of wheat produces 50. I like that kind of math. And God wants to use that kind of spiritual mathematics in your life. 50-1 results when we die to self, when we make those spirit-led decisions sacrificially and serve Him. Need to allow the Holy Spirit to do Father's work in you, and that's where the real fruit comes. And it won't be fly-by-night fruit. Scripture calls this fruit that will remain. Lasting fruit that won't spoil. Two other scriptures for study that go along with this is Philippians 1:6, I'm confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work will complete it. And Philippians 2:13 also. Number four in this challenge of following the leader, because it is a challenge, it's a daily challenge. That's why Jesus said in that scripture, if you want to follow me, you have to daily pick up your cross and follow me. It's not a one-time thing. It's a daily choice that we need to make. And I call this spirit-led and empowered faith. John 21:19. Jesus speaking to Peter. I say, when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wished. That's the impetuous, headstrong Peter that just went ahead and did stuff. I think there's some of that in all of us. But Jesus is addressing that in Peter, but also in us. When you were young, you went wherever you wished, but when you grow old, in other words, as you mature, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will gird you and bring you where you don't wish to go. Oh my. And of course, he's talking about, ultimately, about Peter being crucified upside down on a cross. If you read the historical account of that. So, in verse 19, now this he said, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said, follow me. In other words, submit to this process. It's going to require change. It's going to require adjustment on our part. Not just Peter, but you and I. It's a constantly evolving walk with the Lord. And doesn't necessarily be an easy task always. When we make the decision and we walk in His grace, that's when it becomes easier. So if I were to paraphrase verse 18 and 19, I would say it this way: follow me and my grace will sustain you, and I will supply the faith to walk in and complete that which the Father has ordained for you and in your life. You know that He has a plan Sometimes it doesn't seem like it, does it? It's like, why is this happening? This makes no sense to me. But it makes sense to him. And so instead of pushing back, we just accept it and seek the Lord, draw closer to the Lord. Sometimes we'll find out why, sometimes we won't find out why. But the attitude in the process is the key. Colossians 2, 6, and, oh, excuse me, Romans 1, 17, the righteous shall walk by faith or live by faith. And Romans 5, 1 to 5, I'm not going to read it all, but it talks about it there, our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. And so we have access to that grace. The grace is always there to do and to say what God has ordained, to face whatever challenge that he has planned in your life. But we have to enter into it. We have to walk in it instead of saying, I can do this, and misinterpret the scripture by saying, I can do all things. No, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, Philippians 1:6. The big difference there in emphasis. Romans 12:3, God has allotted to each a measure of faith. And what this is saying is, don't worry about what somebody else is doing. God will give you the faith for what he asks you to do. And he'll give them the faith. So there's no room for comparison or criticism. Just pay attention to you. That's enough. That's enough of a challenge to be alert and be obedient and sensitive to the Holy Spirit. In verse 6 there in Romans 12, exercise your gift led by the Holy Spirit. So we need to not look at our limitations, but at God's power. See, that's the key. Take your eyes off yourself. Put your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. Faithful is he who calls you, and he will bring it to pass. Not you. The Lord will do what's necessary. He will strengthen you. He will give you the grace. He will give you the wisdom, the ability, whatever it is. Once you make that decision, and I'll go back to what the Lord said earlier, to take your hand off the mountain. Take it off. No, don't put it back on. Take it off and leave it off. Follow the leader. Follow Jesus faithfully. And number 5, Spirit-led calling and purpose. John 21, verse 21 and 22. This was the old Peter here. He didn't like what he interpreted through his mind. His interpretation of what Jesus says was not what Jesus said. And Jesus addresses that. Verse 21. Peter, seeing him, John, said to Jesus, Lord, what about this man? Jesus said, if I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me. You do what I've called you to do. Don't worry about John. John's got his own challenges. You just do what I want you to do. Follow me faithfully. Romans 8:28, and we know that since we're all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. Once you accept Christ, you are called according to his purpose. That purpose was already there, but you just enter in to the lifeline and the grace to walk in that which he has planned. Ephesians 1:11, we are predestined according to his purpose. Now, we can stray, we can wander, but the scripture says predestined means it's already been determined by God even before you were born. And so I guess he knows what he's doing because he's figured it out before you were born. Knowing your limitations, knowing your stubbornness, and all those nice things in your makeup. There are good things too, but there's some things that have to be worked out of us, at least out of me. Predestined according to his purpose. But there's the hope, Colossians 1:29. His power that mightily works in me. For this purpose I labor, his calling, Paul speaking, striving, not striving like in his own strength, but pushing ahead, in other words, according to his power, which mightily works within me. That's why you can do anything. Anything that he calls you to do. But see, here's the problem. You have to identify what is a good thing and what is a God thing. There's only one letter difference there, one O. And he wants you to say, oh. This isn't a God thing. This is just a good thing. He's not asking me to do it, and that's why I don't have the grace. That's why it's not working out according to his purpose. He hasn't called you to do it. Did I give you 2 Timothy 1:9? I'm losing myself. Saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. It has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with him. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted, hello, granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. How long is eternity? Forever. Before the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Talks about that in Revelation. So we need to identify and then focus on and be faithful to what he's called us to do. Don't worry about somebody else's calling. Don't feel belittled by what God's, or threatened by what someone else is called to do. But just identify and focus and then be faithful to that which God has ordained for you. You know, when the scripture says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, it's not saying you can do everything. It's saying you can do everything he's called you to do. You see, there's a big difference. And when we step out from under the calling, we're stepping out from the anointing. And that's when we get in trouble. So, pay attention. Need to identify those things and focus on them, be faithful to them. James 4:7-8 and verse 10. Submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. Again, it's all about attitude. That is the key. It's all about our attitude. That's where the correction always lies with you and I. It's with our attitude. He will remain true to his covenant, and you and I need to remain true to follow the leader. That's covenant. That's submitting to the Lord in whatever it is and wherever you find yourself. And just put your trust in Him. Proverbs 3, 5 to 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him. And He will direct your path, or He will do it, in other words. He will make your path straight. Follow the leader. Simple. Sounds simple. Three words. Follow the leader. Simple, but yet hard at times, but necessary. And so I just pray that even what the Lord's revealed to me in the Spirit earlier about your challenges and your need to press through and your need to take your hand off those things so that God could fully move, I pray for His grace to be manifest. It's a great grace. It's a great grace. And it's free, but it came as a cost, with a cost. Because Jesus paid the price that you might have life and life more abundantly. God bless you all.